Congregation, our God, He's a creative God. Ground at the variety He's made in creation, even with humans. Here, those made in the image of God. He made males, He made females. God could have done any number of things, but He made the two. And He has a wonderful plan in how the two relate, and we seek to honor that in our church as well as in our households. Now, if someone comes from outside this congregation, there are some matters that might strike them a little out of step with the culture around us. Maybe you wonder about them as well. Two of those matters revolve around the differences in roles between males and females. The first, the one that's broader and more foundational, is that only males serve as office bearers. That is, only males serve as deacons, elders, and ministers. And that's the case not only here at Dunn, but in every church in our federation, the United Reformed Churches in North America. It's one of the reasons why Dutton left our former denomination back in the early 1990s, because that denomination opened offices to females, reversed centuries of biblical understanding. Every confessional Reformed church has only males as ministers and elders. Now, most confessional Reformed churches also have males only as deacons. Now, the second matter that might perhaps seem out of step to an outsider is that in the congregational meeting, only professing members who are males speak and vote. Admittedly, Dutton is in the minority here, even in our own federation. It's not a confessional matter, it's a local decision. And the consistory has approved a paper explaining our position. If you want it, that can be handed out, no problem. But the sermon isn't about why only males are to serve as office bearers. The sermon is not about why only males vote at congregational meetings. The sermon's focused on what the role of the women in the church is, not what the role is not. Now, these matters bear upon the issue, and perhaps someone might ask, well, if a female may not hold office or vote, what is their role in the church? That's what we're going to look into this morning. Before we begin, we want to be clear that there are only two sexes, two genders for humans, male and female. The scriptures are clear. Take your Bibles and turn to the very beginning, Genesis 1. It's there on page 2 in the Pew Bibles. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. What God created in the beginning, He continues. We didn't choose our own sex, our own gender. God established it. The moment we're conceived, we are what we will be forever. So what are the roles of men and women in the church? Well, consider under 3 points. The first is that they are equal heirs. They are equal heirs. Now, there are many differences between men and women, but some things are not different. We say that men and women are equal before the Lord. Equal. Men and women are equally made in God's image. We read just that from Genesis 1, verse 27. Men are not more or less the image of God than women are. Females are not a higher life form than males are, nor males a higher life form than females. We are created equal. We aren't equivalent. That is, there are differences in roles and many other things. Males and females are not equivalent, but we are equal. But beyond creation, we go to the fall. Men and women are equally sinners before God. Even though Eve sinned first, it was Adam's sin, because Adam served as our covenant head, our representative of all humankind, mankind. That's the just cause of mankind's sin and sinfulness. Adam's sin is credited, is imputed to every individual, not just males, not just females, but to every human being other than Jesus. We see that sin is common, that men and women are equal in that regard by turning, well, turn to Romans 3. Page 1196, Romans 3. verse 10. Now, the Apostle Paul is bringing out how Jews and Gentiles are equal in this regard, but we can apply it to men and women. Verse 10, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. That is what we are by nature. Now, males and females, they might have different sorts of temptations, even as one person might have a different set of temptations from another person, but one sex is not naturally worse than another. So creation, the fall, redemption. Men and women equally are chosen by God unto salvation. That is, it's not because of anything in ourselves that God chooses a specific man or a specific woman unto salvation. For men and women, election is unconditional. Men and women are equally saved in and through Jesus. Yes, Jesus was and is and forever will be male as a human. But there's no favoritism. There's no difference with the salvation Jesus brings for men and women alike. Christ fulfilled all righteousness, even to the point of suffering God's wrath against sin, suffering and dying accursed, to pay for the sin of men and women alike. And on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. He rose equally for men and women. He paid for the sins of males and females. He brings the same righteousness for males and females. And it is through faith, not sex, not gender, not works, that someone is declared right with God, forgiven of our sins, made an heir of eternal life. Believe and you are saved. That's what comes again and again, that message in the Bible. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. Believe each and every day. Now turn with me to Galatians. Galatians 3, page 1237. Galatians 3, verse 27. We'll start at verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. And then turn to Acts chapter 16, page 1177. Acts 16, beginning at verse 14. Speaking of the Apostle Paul, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So this Galatians, this Acts, we see very clearly men and women are equal in the Lord. Equal salvation. Here we find that Lydia was baptized. Now, in the Old Testament, only males were circumcised, obviously. Only males had the sign, seal, sign of the covenant placed upon them. That changed with the New Testament. We saw that some weeks ago. There is an expansion. The covenant sign of baptism is now to be placed on males and females alike. There's no difference. Males and females are equally believers, equal members of the covenant, saved, members of Christ. Even more, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, page 1295. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, the Apostle Peter there says that the woman is the weaker vessel, yes, but that doesn't alter that men and women are co-heirs of the grace of life. It doesn't alter that men are to show, the husbands are to show honor to their wives. There's no difference there. Men and women are equal heirs. But we live in a world, don't we, that pits, if it admits to the difference at all, pits men against women. Don't do that. Men don't demean women simply because they're women. They are created equal. In Christ, they are equal. Yes, sin has affected our relationships, affects us, but do not demean. Don't joke about differences in a demeaning, a dishonoring way. That may be what the world does. It has no place for Christians. We are to think theologically. We are to think biblically. Women, you are in the image of God. You are worthy of honor. Now, from what we know from history, pagan cultures would diminish, would devalue women. As Christianity spread, women were no longer marginalized in that way. They were elevated to the position that God has granted, that God declares. Now, maybe some will say, well, the pendulum swung too far. Well, it really hasn't. If you look at it, much of so-called feminism today, it diminishes women. It diminishes femininity. It gives the message that only as a woman acts like a man and excels men in masculine ways, then she's considered a success. See, much of so-called feminism devalues women, even as they proclaim the opposite. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Again, think biblically. Think theologically. By God's grace, women are equal heirs. Equal heirs. And secondly, we're going to consider that women are abundantly gifted. Abundantly gifted. As we said, throughout history, women were not valued. They were devalued. As Christianity spread, their equality was recognized more and more, and that relates to their giftedness. Now, we could talk about giftedness in natural areas. We're just going to bring out spiritual giftedness. So turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, page 1157. Acts 2, beginning verse 14. We'll read quite a few verses here. So Peter, this is on the day of Pentecost, and he quotes from the Old Testament, and he applies it to them. Acts 2, beginning at verse 14, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Again, did you catch what Joel prophesied, inspired by God? What Peter says, again, inspired by God, was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and so it fits the church today. Women are included in this pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And from that they prophesy. Again, verse 17. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Verse 18, on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That's what happened on Pentecost. The spirit has been poured out. And there is no distinction between males and females in this pouring out. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon and indwells you, ladies, as well as men. And so females are abundantly gifted. If they have the Holy Spirit, then they have giftedness that comes from the Spirit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, page 1219. Begin reading at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The apostle here makes no distinction between men and women in terms of the giftedness they receive. Instead, he stresses the similarity in one aspect, the same Spirit. Of course, as he says, the Spirit apportions giftedness to each one as he wills. And so no two believers are gifted in exactly the same way. Now, go further, verse 14. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We can keep reading, but men cannot say of women, nor women of men, we have no need of you. We do. Not only naturally in family relationships, but in the church also. Each member has been elected in eternity past by God, saved by Christ, gifted by the Spirit, placed into this particular congregation at this time. We need each other. And the scriptures show part of how this plays out with one particular husband-wife team, Aquila and Priscilla. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Page 1179, Acts 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. Now move down, turn the page to verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, turn over one book of the Bible to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, verse 3. Paul wrote there in verse 3, Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Aquila and Priscilla were husband and wife. Paul calls them fellow workers, his fellow workers. And she helped, as we read from Acts, helped to instruct the great Apollos to understand spiritual truth more accurately, more fully. In fact, if you look at what we read, she's mentioned before her husband in two of these accounts. She was gifted. And the Apostle Paul gave thanks for her. But she's not the only one. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, page 1250. Philippians 4, verse 2. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And here the apostle writes of two other women. Yes, they at that point were quarreling, but the point is Paul calls them co-laborers, fellow workers in the church. And who can forget that our risen Lord, when he first rose from the dead, appeared first to women and entrusted to them not the task of preaching, but the task, bring that good news to his disciples. Tell them. We saw that in Easter when we looked through Mark especially, didn't we? What a blessing. Ladies, you are gifted. Develop the gifts God has given you. Use the gifts God has given you. Men, do not fear gifted women. Encourage them. Even husbands, encourage your wives. Part of the wedding vows that husbands speak is that they will encourage their wives to use the gifts God has given them. Use those gifts. Men and women are not competitors in the church. And we are not to view it that way. Don't view it that way. Don't view it as the world views things, as a power struggle. Again, yes, sin breaks things, but let us not live in sin. The Son of God came to earth to pay for all sins. By his suffering, his death on the cross, he's put sin to death. He's reconciled sinners to the holy God and to each other. And Jesus has brought life, righteousness. He's brought a new man, a new humanity. Not that gets rid of male and female in all distinctions, because we are still male and female, but in service to God, in righteousness. Trust him and be forgiven, but also trust him and live out that reality he has brought. Believe that gospel. Maybe, ladies, you wonder what your gifts are. Maybe you wonder how you're to use them, where you're to use them. Of course, Scripture is clear. You're not called to use your gifts as ministers, elders, or deacons. You're not called to use your gifts in spiritual authority over men. But there are so many other ways. Sunday school teachers, members of Bible societies, small groups. You can attend, you can study, you can discuss. We have Wednesday evening prayer group at which you can come and join in prayer. All of us are called to worship, where we confess corporately the Christian faith. We don't have just the males speak. Men and women confess. As Paul brings out in Ephesians and Colossians, we address one another in our singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You might not hold an office in the church where you can lead publicly in prayer during corporate worship, but in taking part in the body of believers, you're speaking. Your voice is heard. You're singing. You're confessing, even with the corporate amening. Not only that, but turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're back to 1 Corinthians, verse 26. And we read this recently a couple times, a few times in our series through the sacraments. Look at verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You ladies, you come to the table of the Lord. You join in proclaiming the Lord's death as you celebrate the supper. You're not a preacher, but you still proclaim the Lord's death. That's what God's word says. What a wonderful use of just some of the giftedness God's given you. And there are many other ways to use gifts. And we'll move then to our third point about being servants, gracious servants, gracious servants. So we look around at the world, right? What does it exalt? That which is visible, flashy. Look at how much is paid to sports stars, to entertainers, while those who do hard work are paid relatively little. Now, we're not going to get into economics and things like that, but it's the entertainers that make headlines, even about insignificant matters. Sometimes there's a nod towards service. Yes, we see that sometimes. But look at the day-to-day glitz, news, and money. The world does not rightly value servants. But that's what all Christians are. We're servants. Jesus is the premier servant. He is called the servant of the Lord. Jesus himself said he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus told us, if you want to follow him, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And so each of us, men and women alike, are servants. Now turn with me to Romans, back to Romans 16. We were there earlier. We're there again, but this time, verse 1, page 1209. Romans 16, verse 1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. I'll turn to 1 Timothy 3, page 1263. We saw this in our series through 1 Timothy, but it bears returning to that. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. Now this is in the section about qualifications for deacons. In the midst, sandwiched between addressing deacons, that is men, he says this in verse 11, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Now, some people use these two sets of passages to argue that women are to serve in the office of deacon. We don't think God's teaching that in these passages, or in any passage. But what comes through is that women are in the church servants, gracious servants. Think even of deacons. I've served as a deacon, but those who have served as deacons too, there are some situations where, because of propriety, a deacon needs his wife alongside and to help care for especially a widow or a woman in need. But there's more. Turn to Acts. Again, Acts chapter 9. Page 1168, Acts 9, beginning at verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. And we could also read from 1 Timothy 5 about what appeared to be an order of widows in the early church. It's brings out some ways of serving. Making meals, writing encouraging notes, nursery care, playing piano, organ, caring for others. On and on and on. So many wonderful ways that women are to be gracious servants in the church. Ladies, you are gifted, but not only are you gifted, you're valuable. The church needs you. And we thank you. Thank you for the many ways you serve. It's such a blessing. It brings such honor to our God. But maybe some people still say, what's the worth of it? Well, it's wonderful. Turn to Matthew. Matthew 25. Page 1056. Again, not valued by the world. Hopefully you know you are valued here. But regardless, listen, Matthew 25, verse 31 and following. So listen to this with the ears now of the role of women in the church. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Wow, isn't that amazing? To hear that from Jesus? Just wait, ladies, until you hear that from your Lord, from the King. What a blessing. What a blessing. Don't give up. Don't be deceived by the world around us. Don't listen to the voices that diminish your giftedness or your service or the blessedness in serving. Press on. Listen to what Jesus says. And by God's grace, live what God made you, what God has gifted you, with the opportunities for service He brings before you. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. What a wonderful creation you've made. Such diversity, even with humans, male and female, but even amongst them, all the other diversity you make. Yet in Christ, you bring this equality, this oneness, unity, diversity. We praise your name. We hear so many voices out there of wanting to stress power. And oppression, throwing off the yoke, whatever it may be. Lord, thank you for bringing us into your family. Thank you for the men and women you have given and the giftedness and the opportunities for service and the serving. Lord, you see, you value, you bless. And we pray that we would continue and increase in the roles you've given us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.